Real Faith for Real Life, the podcast all about the intersection of faith and life. Hey, everybody, Pastor Bill here with you, reminding you that we're doing something really different, special, and unique this time around. We're talking about the vision and mission of our church, Cascade Fellowship. Hey, especially on today's episode, I want to make you aware that it may be helpful to watch this rather than listen to this. There's a lot of video content. I'm going to show a lot of bar charts, a lot of stats, a lot of pictures. If you want to keep up, it might be good to go to our website, cascadefellowship.org, or our YouTube page, Cascade Fellowship, and find that video so that you can keep up with what we're talking about today. All right, with that being said, welcome to part three. As I always like to do, I want to remind you about where we've been in the previous parts of this series. So I want to remind you about video number one, in which we looked at the base, the bottom layers of this vision pyramid. Our consultant, Larry Dornbos, has come to help us create and articulate this vision pyramid, starting at the base where we have foundational commitments. In other words, we want to articulate and remember and commit ourselves to what is our foundation. That is the Word of God and our Reformed world and life view. Built on top of that are core values, things like hospitality and relevancy, a love of learning here. These are values, longstanding values at our church that define who we are. And above that, now we have the vision and mission and our practices and priorities. Our mission statement reads like this: radiating the love and truth of Jesus in every area of life. I love this. I hope you do too. All the details are back in video one, so make sure you watch that video. But in short, remember, radiating is the verb, and radiating is a beautiful verb. It connotes warmth and light and spreading outward motion. What are we spreading? We're radiating the love and truth of Jesus. Not just love devoid of truth, not just truth devoid of love, like some churches, but we're committing ourselves to do both and do both well. And where? In every area of life. I love this. So no matter who you are, if you're a medical professional, great. You spread the love and truth of Jesus in your profession. If you're in education, you spread the love and truth of Jesus in your profession. And all of us with our families and our friends and our coworkers, we're spreading, radiating the love and truth of Jesus. That's our mission, and our vision gets at how we accomplish that. And notice the movement in these verbs here. So we're welcoming people into our fellowship, we're equipping them with something, and then we're inspiring them to go out and to live it out. Let's put the rest of the words around this and flesh it out. Cascade Fellowship welcomes people into a loving community. That's one of the things that makes us most unique. We're a welcoming church, a loving church, a friendly church. Once they're welcomed in, we equip them with God's never-changing truth. Again, that's something that makes us unique, our commitment to the Word of God. And then we inspire them to do something with it and to live it out in an ever-changing world. And that phrase gets at our relevancy value, that we realize life is constantly changing and we can bring the never-changing Word of God into the ever-changing world. That's mission and vision, and then built on top of that were our practices, our priorities for the coming year. We talked about that in video two, so I invite you to look at that. I hope you remember these phrases, these key verbs, welcome, equip, and inspire, and I hope you really are liking them, but maybe you're just thinking, Bill, where did all this come from? Like, I kind of am getting on board with this, but I just want to know how you came across these words, these ideas, these phrases. And I got good news for you if you're wondering that, because this video and all the rest in this series are to answer that question. Where did this come from? And so listen, maybe you remember back in school, in high school or college, you were in a math class and it wasn't enough just to write an answer, but you had to show your work, right? Your teacher said, show your work. Why? Because it wasn't important solely to come across the right answer, but to show that you knew what you were doing on your way there and you went through the right process to get there. And so all of these videos, the rest of our series, we're going to be showing our work. And this video, part three, and the next video, part four, are all about the congregational data, things that we've learned about our congregation, our unique calling and giftedness, what makes us unique. And so I'm excited to dive into that right now with you and in the next video to come. We did that by surveying the congregation, and we did that by calling together various focus groups and also having a congregational meeting to unpack everything. One of the groups that met helped us to look backwards before we began looking forwards. It's really important to do that. I think of mission and vision sometimes like a road trip. And so you might see on the screen some graphics of campers and RVs and cars, the trip analogy. Vision is about where we're going, where we are now and where we're going. But it's also important to start with this phrase, this question, where have we been? Where have we been? We're going to start there, and we're going to rewind now about 5 or 6 years to the last time we did a visioning process. The year was 2018. So I want to walk you through a timeline, just really briefly here, of all that's happened since 2018. A lot has changed, and that's part of the reason why we're doing this new vision refresh process, because a lot has changed since 2018. In 2018, there was a vision refresh process. In 2019, Pastor James began his succession plan. In 2019 as well, the church made the decision to begin ordaining female elders. And in 2020, the church began the process of revising and updating their bylaws. Something else happened in 2020. I don't know if you remember this, but there was this little thing called COVID-19, the global pandemic that changed everything. And actually, it was James's last Sunday and his send-off right before COVID shut the entire world down and shut our church down for a good amount of time. In 2020 also, there was a staff downsizing due to COVID. The admin board and all the different committees voted to downsize our budget by 7.5% for the year 2021. And that was just a way to be responsible with what the world may bring us with COVID-19. There's a lot of unknowns at that time. Part of downsizing the budget, 7.5%, was that two staff members had to be laid off and two staff members had to be moved from full-time to part-time. It was a very painful thing, and it hit me right as I began in October 2020. So those decisions started September 2020, and I started in October 2020. So it was a very turbulent time. So here we go. Next bullet point. In 2020, the new pastor arrived at the church, and that's me. And that's a good thing, but it's a change. I have a different leadership style than James. I bring with me different gifts and different weaknesses. And that's just a lot of change to bring a new pastor on top of all the other bullet points you see above. So that was 2020. In 2021, we began to simplify the governance. We began to say, wow, 24 elders and deacons, that's a lot. It's hard to get things done with this size of a board and this many committees all stepping on each other. So we began to simplify the governance. And then on top of everything else, in 2022, a little thing came out called the Human Sexuality Report that shook up many churches, and fresh out of the turbulence of COVID-19, brought new turbulence into many CRC churches. We weathered that storm pretty well, but it has been a lot. Can we just say that, looking at the screen from 2018 to 2022? It's been a lot. And I want to dive in now to the first part of this and go back to 2018 with me. I want you to understand where the church was then, especially. It's really important in considering our history and where we're going next. So I know a lot of you watching this video are new. We've had a lot of new people join our church, and all of this history may be new to you. And the state of the church in 2018 may also be new to you. Or maybe you're a longstanding member and you were there, you lived through it, but it's really helpful to remind ourselves of what it was like in 2018. So the story in 2018, this is what our consultant at the time, Keith Dornbos, said about the church. He said, a community of long and deep commitments was beginning to age, and the number of guests and newcomers was showing signs of slowing. Cascade was an introverted church, high in maturity, but low in outreach. And even as we say we're high in maturity, even so, 52% of people were stuck in the second stage of maturity despite multiple years in the faith. And only 28% were satisfied with the church's role in their faith development, putting us in the bottom 10% of all churches. And we were in the bottom 25% of churches with regard to people putting their faith in action. Also in 2018, here's what a few key stats looked like. The number or percentage who were in biblical community, 16%. The percentage serving somewhere in the community, 18%. The percentage who said they felt equipped to share the faith, only 9%. The percentage who said they know and know how to use their spiritual gifts, only 16%. The percentage who reflect daily on Scripture, just 24%. Our consultant said we were primarily an introverted church, but also we had many marks of a troubled church, a very low spiritual vitality at that time. And the book he recommended we read said, hey, here's what you do to revitalize a troubled church. You shake things up. It says shaking things up is just what the doctor ordered for troubled churches. Congregants in troubled churches are stuck, and they need more direction and support from their church to get their spiritual journeys in gear. They need a turn, not a tweak. The temptation to tweak is strong, but radical choices are necessary to effect a turnaround. And once focus is restored, remove all distractions and obstacles in the church's path. This often requires the elimination of non-correctivities, including long-standing but ineffective ministries. That was our action plan in 2018, and I resonate with these words, shaking things up. We are no longer in that state anymore, and I think it's because we shook things up, and maybe God shook things up for us with the coronavirus and the pandemic and all those things you saw on the previous screen. We shook things up here. Or maybe more accurately, we were just shaken up. And I want you to know we've come out strong on the other side. That's a bit about where we were. Now we're going to turn the corner and look at where we are. So again, to use the road trip analogy, let's hop in the RV. We're no longer where we were, but we now are somewhere different. And I've got good news for you today. The place we're at is pretty good. And we're going to spend the rest of this video looking at that and celebrating that subjectively as we can. So here are a few stats for you. Last year in 2023, we welcomed 28 new adult members to our church and their 11 children to our church family. I don't have a bullet point here, but in 2024, we've already had one new member welcome with a stage full of people, another one on the way with four adults and their kids. Also, we had 18 people, in addition to all that, just go through a Discover Cascade class. And hey, it is just barely March as I tape this video. So in 2024, this trend is continuing and accelerating. Lots of people coming, lots of people deciding to join. Back to 2023, last year we baptized one adult and six infants. We heard three adults profess their faith for the first time publicly. And life groups grew from 12 to 20 leaders and from 121 to 176 participants. Our children's programs are growing too. Cascade Kids now serves about 180 children a week, and middle school has grown by 23%, and high school has doubled. Regarding outreach, our block parties have reached 500 people. That was in 2023 alone, 500 people, with 48% of those people saying it was their first. And we saw record missions pledges and giving, as well as giving to our general fund for the year. Giving is also strong so far in 2024, by the way, stronger than the previous year. So a lot of great general stats to begin, just to show we are a growing church. And here's some more numbers for you. We now have 766 active members and regular attenders. So that's if you consider everyone who is formerly a member here and is active here, as well as all the people who are coming regularly, who are basically members, but they just haven't taken that step yet. 766 people in our orbit right now. The average in-person attendance so far in 2024, 444. If you include the online folks, which I do, they're real people. So average total attendance in person and online, 583. Here's what that would look like if you present it graphically. Let me orient you to this chart. This shows from 2013 to today, so almost 10 years of data. And this is a sampling of attendance from the months of January and February only. And in that way, we have a fair sampling across dates, including this year. So it's standard January-February attendance. Each bar is made up of multiple bars, actually. So the blue part of the bar is upper worship center attendance. The green part of the bar is lower worship center attendance. And the orange are children counted in children's ministries. Once you get past 2022, you also have a yellow part of the bar. That's the live stream that did not exist prior, but it's part of our attendance count now. We'll primarily just be looking up through the orange part of the bar for what we're going to discuss here. Notice the trend with me as we look. From 2013 to 2020, there's just this slow, kind of steady decline. There was something that happened somewhere along the way where the church hit a plateau and could not get beyond that to the next level. And this often happens, that just, it hurts your momentum, it hurts your attitude, your enjoyment of what's happening. And the church entered into a period of some sort of decline. Of course, 2021, that was the pandemic. And so there is no bar for 2021. We did not have in-person gatherings during January and February in 2021. So there's no bar for that year. 2022 was a year of rebuilding, of reopening, reestablishing things, welcoming people back. And so the bar is pretty low for 2022 if you look at just up to the orange. But if you add in the yellow part and the online folks, which are real folks who are really faithfully tuning in and participating, then you see we really mitigated that as best we could. However, for today's video, we'll just look up through the orange part of the bar and notice the new trend since the pandemic. It's an upward trend. There's a percentage that's been added each year. And if you look actually at this year's bar, you can see it exceeds where we were pre-pandemic. And so unlike a lot of churches, we've actually already built back to where we were pre-coronavirus, and we also have some good momentum moving in the right direction. And let's just take a moment to celebrate the yellow part of the bar. I know we're not like looking at it too strenuously, but that's really something to celebrate that we have that many people tuning in every single week and participating with us via the live stream. Faithful members of our congregation, either traveling or for other reasons who can't be present, but they're still present with us online. So to me, this is an incredibly encouraging graph. We've arrested and we've stopped the decline that was happening, and we have a whole different trend and a whole different momentum now that's leading us to a great place. Now, I want you to think about just the blue part of the bar. That was the upper worship center attendance. That's a lot of people. It was 341 this January and February. That right there is a challenge. Here's why. There's something called the 80% rule. Have you ever heard that? It basically says once an auditorium gets to a certain percentage of fullness, it becomes really difficult for people to find a seat and to enjoy the experience of attending church, especially if you're new. So our auditorium seats roughly 400 people. 80% of 400 is 320. Look at this, 320 versus 341. We are already in violation of the 80% rule. And I can tell you, as the pastor, standing on stage and looking out at folks, even after the kids are dismissed, I can barely see two or three or four seats together anywhere in the auditorium. So if someone were to come and visit and want to find a seat for their whole family, they'd be having a problem. Let's talk briefly about the lower worship center as well. Attendance has averaged 103 so far this year, and we have room for 138 as it's currently configured according to the 80% rule. So we've got a little bit more that we can handle upstairs, and we got room for a few more downstairs, but as a whole, the church as it's currently laid out and configured with seats is at the 80% rule. A growing church, in recap. Let's see, what else are we? We are not only a growing church, we're a multi-generational church. Here's another graph for you. I hope you like graphs. I love this graph. This one I like even more than the last one. We have all the ages spread out here from left to right, from 0 to 9 at the leftmost and 90 plus at the right. And look at how evenly spread that is. Obviously, we're blessed to have some members who are 90 years old or above. We expect that bar to be like it is. But across the rest of the ages, it's a pretty decent spread. including a noticeable bump in the 10 to 19-year-old column. So what a blessing to be a multi-generational church. We're also an optimistic church. This survey showed that people overwhelmingly said they are hopeful about the church, energized about the church, or refreshed, with only a few people saying they felt flat, tired, or discouraged. In all, 91% of people describe our church as hopeful, energized, and refreshed. Similarly, 99% of the people surveyed said they're willing to extend grace and permission to our leaders as they guide us through uncertain times. So we are in a good place, a hopeful, joyful place. We're also an active church. You remember those stats from 2018, how maybe a fifth or less of people had found a place to serve in the community or in the church? Not so anymore. Of those surveyed, 61% said they've been active in a grow group or life church or other small group in the past year. That's a great number worth celebrating, people finding community in their place to belong. When asked if they found a place to serve God inside Cascade Fellowship in the past year, 75% said yes. And we did another survey just to make sure this figure was true, and it is true. It's amazing. Also, did you find a place to serve God outside of Cascade Fellowship in the past year? 65% said yes, serving God in the community. We are an active church. We're also a healthy church. Larry, in his consultation, presented us with this graphic that shows the life cycle, the typical life cycle of a church from birth, childhood, adolescence, adulthood, all the way through to maturity, early aging, late aging, and then death. As the church progresses through these stages, you have varying levels of vision, relationships, programs, and management, represented by the letters V, R, P, and M. You can see at each stage there are different combinations of vision, relationships, programs, and management. They're either weak or strong. Here's what Larry said about us. We are in the adult stage. And if you look at all the options, that's the best place to be and the place you want to stay as a church. The adult stage is characterized by strong vision, relationships, programs, and management. We're a healthy church. The task for the adult church is ongoing renovation, continuing in the present direction while incorporating new information about the community and culture into that direction. Tweaks may need to be made to the church's strategies to assure they fit what is God's ongoing vision for them. So Larry said, listen, you all are in a good place. You are a healthy adult church. You don't need now any major shakeup. You don't need any radical change, but you do need to do this. You need to constantly be aware and assess if there are any small tweaks that you may need to make in order to not begin slipping into maturity and then decline and death. That's part of what this process is all about, just seeing what tweaks need to be made. Lastly, for this video, I want to point out that we are an aligned church. We have these strengths as evaluated by the survey. These are the things we are objectively good at, ranked from best to worst: getting to know God, following Jesus, deepening faith, loving God and others, being neighborly, leading well, and doing justice. Those are the things we're objectively good at. Now, in the survey, we asked people, the congregation as a whole, what they thought our priorities should be, and we asked leaders that same question over the next 12, 18 months. What do you think we should focus on? The congregation at large and our past, current, and future leaders produced lists that looked almost identical to this first list. So look, the things that we're actually good at and actually doing well are almost the exact same list as the things we're convinced that we should be concentrating on and doing well. Isn't that amazing? In the next video, we're going to look into this list and we're going to look at what constitutes, for example, doing justice. And we're going to ask the question like, hey, why is that last on every single list? And is that okay? And so I want you to just, you know, you might be thinking that, and I want you to put a pin in that thought until our next video, and we're going to address why the list looks like it does, what we're good at, and why the list looks like it does, what people think we should focus on. So we'll unpack all that in detail in the next video. But for now, I want to leave you with, again, just this overall celebration of the health of our church. This is what our consultant, Larry Dornbos, said in summary. People are thankful for the ministry. New people are visiting and joining. The congregation is resource-rich, and Cascade Fellowship is dealing with the challenges that come from growth rather than decline. This is definitely a time to give thanks and to celebrate as we continue to imagine God's dynamic future for us. Man, don't you love hearing that? I know I do. This is good news about the health of our congregation. But, you know, if you're part of our church, you don't need a quote or a bunch of stats or bar charts. You know what God is doing here. And I just want you, here's an application step, if you will. I'm a pastor. I can't help but give you an application. Would you apply it by just doing this, giving God thanks and praise? Because our church, man, is such a blessing. We are so blessed, as we've seen today. So let's remember to give God the glory and to appreciate what he's doing here. We're going to continue next week on the podcast by doing that deep dive I referenced earlier, going inside each of those categories and seeing what's firing on all cylinders and what needs a little work, as is the case at any church. We've got a special interview lined up to talk about that. I'm excited to dive in, and we will see you then.